Vimes said. "That last bit?"
"That is a literal translation, Your Grace," said Clarence nervously. "It means something like an amazing opportunity or a glittering prize, Your Grace."
"When we're not in public, Clarence, sir will do. Your Grace is just to impress the natives." Vimes slumped back in his uncomfortable chair, chin in his hand, and then winced. 2,300 miles, he said, shifting his position, "and it's freezing on a broomstick, however low they fly. And then the barge, and then the coach." He winced again. "I read your report. Do you think it's possible for an entire nation to be insane?"
Clarence swallowed. He'd been told that he was talking to the second most powerful man in Ankh-Morpork, even if the man himself acted as though he was ignorant of the fact. His desk in this chilly tower room was rickety. It had belonged to the head janitor of the Kinnec garrison until yesterday. Paperwork cluttered its scarred surface and was stacked in piles behind Vimes's chair. Vimes himself did not look, to Clarence, like a duke. He looked like a watchman, which, in fact, Clarence understood he was. This offended Clarence Chinney. People at the top should look as though they belonged there.
"That's a very interesting question, sir," he said.
"You mean the people?"
"Not the people, the nation," said Vimes. "Borogravia looks off its head to me, from what I've read. I expect the people just do the best they can and get on with raising their kids, which, I might say, I'd rather be doing right now too. Look, you know what I mean. You take a bunch of people who don't seem any different from you and me, but when you add them all together, you get this sort of huge raving maniac with national borders and an anthem."
"It's a fascinating idea, sir," said Clarence diplomatically.
Vimes looked around the room. The walls were bare stone. The windows were narrow. It was damn cold, even on a sunny day. All that bad food and that bumping about and sleeping on bad beds and all that travelling in the dark, too, on dwarf barges and their secret canals under the mountains. The gods alone knew what intricate diplomacy Lord Vetinari had pulled off to get that, although the Low King owed Vimes a few favours. All of that for this cold castle over this cold river between these stupid countries with their stupid war. He knew what he wanted to do. If they'd been people scuffling in the gutter, he'd have known what to do. He'd have banged their heads together and maybe shoved them in the cells overnight. But you couldn't bang countries together. Vimes picked up some paperwork, fiddled with it, and threw it down again.
"To hell with this," he said. "What's happening out there?"
"I understand there are a few pockets of resistance in some of the more inaccessible areas of the keep, but they are being dealt with. For all practical purposes, the keep is in our hands. That was a clever ruse of yours, sir.
Vimes sighed.
"No, Clarence, it was a dull old ruse. It should not be possible to get men into a fortress dressed as washerwomen. Three of them had moustaches, for goodness sake."
"The Borogravians are rather old-fashioned about things like that, sir. On that subject, we appear to have zombies in the lower crypts. Dreadful things. A lot of high-ranking Borogravian military men were interred down there over the centuries, apparently."
"Really? What are they doing now?"
Clarence raised his eyebrows.
"Lurching, sir, I think. Groaning. Zombie things. Something seems to have stirred them up."
"Us, probably," said Vimes.
He got up, strode across the room, and pulled open the big heavy door.
"Reg!" he yelled.
After a moment, another watchman appeared and saluted. He was grey-faced, and Clarence couldn't help noticing when the man saluted that the hand and fingers were held together with stitching.
"Have you met Constable Shue, Clarence?" said Vimes cheerfully. "One of my staff. Been dead for more than 30 years and loves every minute of it, eh, Reg?"
"Right, Mr. Vimes," said Reg, grinning and revealing a lot of brown teeth.
"Some fellow countryman of yours down in the cellar, Reg," said Vimes.
"Oh, dear. Lurching, are they?"
"Afraid so, Reg."
"I shall go and have a word with them," said Reg.
He saluted again and marched out with a hint of a lurch.
"Fellow countryman, he's from here," said Chinny, who had gone quite pale.
"Oh, no, no. The undiscovered country," said Vimes. "He's dead. However, credit where it's due, he hasn't let that stop him.